This book that I'm holding in my hand is the greatest book that was ever written. It is God's gift to us. It is God's letter. It is inspired by God. It is inerrant. It is infallible. And it will change men and women, boys and girls' lives. Listen. A young man checked into a motel room, discouraged, despondent, feeling life was no longer worth living. And as he sat on the edge of the bed with a gun in his hand, trying to get up enough nerve to end his life, he looked over and he saw it laying there on the stand. And he picked it up and he began to read. And because this book is alive, the author is still alive, this book began to speak to him. And he continued to read. And that night, that young man gave his life to Jesus. And he walked out of that motel room a free man. A young mother, Shannon Betts, wanted to succeed in life, was a good student. She studied hard in school and college. She made excellent grades. She got married. She worked hard, but she was not happy. And she didn't know why she wasn't happy. She left her marriage. Shannon was an athlete. Several times a week, she would go out and run. And it was usually during the time that she was running that her emotions, the tears would run down her cheeks. She thought it would be a weakness for anyone to see her crying at any other time. One morning, before daylight, Shannon was out running. A thunderstorm came up. And she was particularly feeling lonely. And she cried out to God, "God, can you help me?" The wind was blowing. The wind was driving the rain into her cheeks, cutting her cheeks. And she needed to run down a different path so that the wind wouldn't blow the rain so much in her face. And when she cried out to God, it was then that there was a flash of lightning, the clap of thunder, and Shannon saw it laying there in the middle of the road, a road she had never run on before, a little testament just like the one I'm holding in my hand. She stopped. She picked it up. She took it home. She began to read it. She began to study it. Shannon gave her life to Jesus. Jesus became her best friend, and she continued to study this book. And after a period of 3 or 4 years, Shannon was able to lead her former husband to the Lord. Shannon's family was reunited because she found Jesus. In Isaiah 55:11, it says, "And so shall my word be that goeth forth from my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish the thing whatsoever I desire." I don't know how long this Bible laid in that motel room before someone picked it up. But I know there was a time when a young man picked it up and he found Jesus. We as Gideons, sometimes we wonder how this little book got in the middle of that road in a rainstorm. This is a testament that the Gideons usually will hand out on a sidewalk in front of a school. And we can only imagine that perhaps some child had received this testament. Maybe they lost it, or maybe they deliberately threw it out the car window. Doesn't matter. "So shall my word be, it shall not return unto me void." It was there when Shannon needed it, and God spoke to her. Brothers and sisters, what if you had never heard? What if you had never heard about God's Word? We are told on the earth today are 7 billion people. Half of all the people that have ever lived perhaps are alive today. 4 billion people have never had an opportunity to have, to hold, or read a copy of God's Word. Many of these people, the reason they have never had a testament is because they are too poor, or the Bibles are just not available in their countries. We are told that thousands of people each day are dying, facing eternity without knowing Jesus. In Mark 16:15, it says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." Dennis just read the parable of the sower. And that is sowing the seed, the Word of God. The Gideons are attempting to go into all the world. The Gideons currently are organized in 190 countries. There are only 20 major countries that we are not yet organized in. But many of these countries have never had an opportunity to hold a copy of God's Word. As I speak, someone that does not live too far from here, and someone in the audience may know Dale Heitzman. Dale and Bob Rush from Lancaster County have just completed 2 weeks of handing out scriptures in Ghana, a country in Africa, a very, very poor country. And they soon will be back home. But in the emails that we received from the men that were in Ghana, they described the situations. And oh, how poor that country is. People barely have enough money to buy food, much less a copy of the Word of God. One of the Gideons wrote home from Ghana, "The only hope that they can possibly have is perhaps to find Jesus as their personal Savior. And then they will have a bright future. Then they will be able to spend eternity in heaven." As Dennis has already said, I recently had an opportunity to go to the country of South America, Colombia, and to work with 22 other Gideons in handing out God's Word. And I just want to say to you that whatever I say this morning, that you are a part of it. It's because of your prayers. It's because of your encouragement. It's because of you that Dennis is serving the Lord in the Gideon ministry. It's because of your encouragement, your prayers, that God is blessing this ministry. And when someone finds Jesus as their personal Savior, it's not something that we did. None of us can save a soul. We can be God's hands. We can be your missionaries. But none of us has the power to save souls. But your prayers are so important. God answered your prayers. Dennis asked you earlier, and there's the number of how many scriptures that were handed out 2 weeks in the three cities in Colombia. Only God knows the results of those scriptures. But again, it's so important that you pray as God brings it to your memory. The city of Bogota is divided into 7 different classes. It was my privilege, my opportunity for the entire first week to work with in the poorer section of Bogota. And that's what most of Bogota was on a level plain, but the southern end was on a hill. The church service that I spoke in the second Sunday, you're looking at the pastor. It was Mother's Day. Same day Mother's Day was here, it's Mother's Day in South America. And they had this service arranged, and I originally was to have 20 minutes. But when I got there, he all of a sudden remembered it's Mother's Day. And do the mothers, do they want to hear about the Gideons? He said, "You can speak 3 minutes." I prayed real fast and got it up to 7. But you know, that's not what was important. Because after I spoke 7 minutes, and that's my interpreter there on the left, this pastor got up and he chose an interpreter from his choir, from his worship team, and his church was some 700 strong. And he began to share, and the interpreter interpreted in English just for me. As a college student, he had been given a testament, and he accepted Jesus as his personal Savior. And 6 years ago, God called him to start a church. And I told you there were 700 people there. But the church, the place where he was worshiping 10 years ago, was a building that was controlled by the drug lords of Bogota. But the government had confiscated this church, and now this pastor, because of the Gideon Testament, was having church, was worshiping in this building. I could have spoken for 3 hours and I couldn't have given a testimony like that. This is the first school that I went to on Monday morning, and you can see the children coming in. This is the only school where we had a distribution like this. In many countries, these kind of distributions are very common. But many of the schools, they would gather for an assembly. This is sort of a courtyard. The school was all around it. And we were able to walk up and down the aisles and give each student a testament. I might also say that in Bogota, the schools, the government schools, started at 6 o'clock in the morning and would end at 12 o'clock. And then at 12:30, 1 o'clock, a new group of students would come in. And so many of the schools where we would visit in the morning, we would go back in the afternoon, and completely different teachers and different students. As we were standing after we had made a distribution, they were discussing something, and I didn't know what it was. And so I asked. They only had a small Fiat car. There were five of us. But they had left to go get more Bibles. And what they were discussing is how they were going to get me to the next school. They were willing to walk, but they weren't sure they wanted to ask me to walk. Well, I don't mind walking, but I didn't know it was going to be a hill like this. And I agreed that I would walk. But believe me, study that picture a little bit. And that was quite a hill. And I was quite winded when I got to the top of that hill. But again, God took care of me physically. God took care of me spiritually. God was good. And it was all, this is, after we had done what we thought was a full day on Monday, we were thinking about going back. This is the second week. We got a phone call from John Rotuno, our leader. He said, "I'm at the university. I want you to come help." So we went to the university. We got there about 4:15. The distribution began at 4 o'clock. There were three teams of us. And I could not believe at that university, perhaps as many as 90% or more. This is a medical university, but 90% or more accepted a copy of God's Word. From 4 to 7, three teams of Gideons handed out 6,000 scriptures. And it was mainly because, I mean, we just handed them out as fast as we could. We couldn't say much, but they were so accepting of God's Word. We would go into a classroom and we would present. We would give them testaments and we would present. They allowed us to interrupt the classes. In the 7 days that I worked in school, I think I spoke in more than 150 classrooms. This is one of the first students that accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. I told the group in Sunday school that there was a special prayer meeting on Tuesday night. On Wednesday, God had it all planned out. This young girl that you're looking at, she's only 13 years old, but she was my interpreter for perhaps the best day that I spent in Columbia. And the reason she is standing by that teacher, just to remind you, I'd ask that God help me be more bolder in presenting the plan of salvation. And when I ask if you would like to accept Jesus as your personal Savior, would you raise your hand? And out of the corner of my eye, I saw this teacher raise her hand. And I almost lost it emotionally. I cannot believe that God would use me in such a position. And it's probably an experience that I'll never forget. This is one of the schools that in a very poor community. It was very hot in this school. I thought it was hot, and then we'd walk into a small classroom with 30 or 40 teenagers, and you could just feel the humidity, and you could just feel the heat. But God was at work. This is another one of the teachers that raised her hand and said, "Yes, I want to accept Jesus as my personal Savior." They were always excited about receiving a copy of God's Word. This teacher began to follow me around from classroom to classroom, telling me that she wished she could speak English. And oh, how I wished that I could have spoken Spanish. I need my wife to come. I would like to share with you a sample presentation that God enabled me to give. We have a very special gift for you today. There's not another book like this in the world. If you would open this book to the third page and you would read, it says, "This book contains the mind of God." And I encourage you to read this book. I encourage you to study this book, because I believe that if you do, you will become a better person. You will become a better student. This book says that I am a sinner. It says that you are sinners, and sin separates us from God. But God doesn't want it that we can't go to heaven, and so God had a plan. God loved us so much that He sent His only Son, Jesus, to come and live here on this earth. But the people rejected Jesus, and they crucified Him, and Jesus gave His life on the cross. Jesus paid the price for your sin and my sin. And then He arose and went to heaven. That was part of God's plan. I would ask that you open your book to the last two pages. And I want to tell you how you can accept God's gift to you. I've already told you how much God loves you. So much that He gave His only begotten Son. And I have told you that we are all sinners. And that separates us from God. But in Revelation 3:20 it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open, I will come in unto him." God will never make anyone accept His gift. The decision is up to you. And I would encourage you, if you want to accept God's gift, that you raise your hand. And when you raise your hand, you're telling God, I want to accept your gift. I want to ask you to forgive me of my sins. I want you to be a part of my life. And if you have raised your hand, I would encourage you to sign your name in the place indicated. And when you sign your name, again, you are indicating to God that you are accepting His gift, Jesus. That you are asking God to forgive you of your sins. I can't tell you how many children and how many teachers that day raised their hands and said, yes, I want to accept Jesus as my personal Savior. But one of the things that stood out to me, I spoke in a particular class, and I gave the opportunity for the students to raise their hands and sign their names in the back of the Testament. But it is very hard to take pictures, to take live pictures. But always, before I would leave a classroom, I would ask them to hold their Bibles up, and I would take a picture. In this particular classroom, you can see a young girl. She's different than all the rest. As I left that classroom, and I was walking down the steps, someone came up from behind and began to talk. And I asked this little 13-year-old girl, a girl that I believed that was wise beyond her years, what is she saying? And she said, she is telling you, thank you for what you did for her class. And then she took her testament and she showed me where she had already signed her name. And I sat down on those steps and I asked, I said, will you, again, through the interpreter, will you sign your name? And that's what you're looking at. Only God knows the results of His work. But again, it's because of your prayers. It's because of your support that we can go into countries like Colombia and we can present God's Word. This young boy was too young to receive a scripture. But there are thousands and millions of him that when the Gideons get the money and to buy the scriptures, we will go back and we will go into South America. We will go to Colombia. Dennis was in Mexico, I believe, 8 years ago. And we will continue to place God's Word. Very quickly, I'd just like to talk real quick about the parable of the sower. We are sowers. You are sowers. The seed that the Gideon sows, it's the Word of God. The seed that your pastor sows is the Word of God. When he preaches to you, he is sowing the seed. Someone in a prayer prays, a child went to a neighbor and began to share. That child was sowing the seed. When you witness to your neighbors, when you witness to your family, when you witness to the people you work with, you are sowing the seed. There are different types of soil. There are different places where the soil, where the seed falls. Some of the seed falls on the path. Some of the seed where the ground is hard. And before it can sprout, before it can grow, the birds of the air come and snatch it up. This is because of the time. This is the only part of the parable that I'm going to talk about. But you study that parable and you think about the different types of soil. And I believe there were every type of soil in Cumberland. I know there was soil that brought forth 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100. Because that pastor, because of the Word of God, because he accepted Jesus, because he started a church, that was good soil. And I can only imagine the students that raised their hand to say, yes, I want to accept Jesus. I can only imagine what type of soil that they were. But what really concerns me is that student that received the scripture, that knew nothing about it, had never had an opportunity to go to Sunday school or church, had never seen a Bible before. But yet that day, they raised their hand and said, I want to accept Jesus. Satan does not want anyone to accept Jesus as their personal Savior. Jesus said that soil that falls on the hard ground, before it can sprout, the birds of the air come and snatch it up or eat it. And the birds of the air, that's Satan. And Satan desires that young boy that went to the neighbors and shared, it was a missionary. You know, Satan wants to snatch that up. He wants to take it away. But you know what? There's good news. Because in 1 John 4:4, it says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And that means God's greater than Satan. And so this morning, I'm asking you as a church, first of all, to be faithful in sowing the seed, however God has called you to do it. But the work is not finished when you sow the seed, because even on sandy soil, if you give it plant fertilizer, if you give it water, if you take care of it, something can still grow. So our responsibility as Christians is when someone accepts Jesus as their Savior, we need to work with them. We need to nurture them in countries around the world. This is a burden of mine, of the thousands and yes, millions of people that have said, yes, I want to accept Jesus as my personal Savior. But the church, you have the power. You have what it's going to take for these people to be victorious in their Christian life. Your prayers, your pleadings with God. Don't let Satan snatch that seed away. Don't let Satan crowd it out of their lives. I want to thank you as a congregation for your support of the Gideon Ministry. I want to thank you as a congregation for your witness here in this community. And I want to encourage you. You have an insert in your bulletin. And I just want to encourage you, however you choose to use that insert, but keep it. And as you come across it and you think about the millions of people that are receiving a scripture, that you offer up a prayer, God, don't let Satan snatch that seed away before they can read it, before they can understand it, before they can find Jesus as their personal Savior. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marlon. And I'm going to take it a step further. Marlon strongly encouraged us to pray. And I want to challenge you to do the same. But the reality is, it takes a lot of money to buy all those, to buy that 1.26 million scriptures that they handed out in 2 weeks in Colombia. And if the Lord is leading you this morning to give to the Gideons, you can take that little envelope that's part of your insert, and if you're not prepared, you can take it home and mail it. Or, Marlon, after the service, when you're greeting people, will you... I'll have a basket for you. Would you have it right there by you? Maybe he'll even hold it. If the Lord leads you, I'd ask you to put an offer, a free will offering in that basket. Someone's soul may depend on it. Okay, and that the Gideons are just an extended missionary arm of our church. And it's a pretty good investment because 100% of what we give goes to purchase God's Word. So I'd encourage you to consider that on the way out, or take it home and send it in. Marlon, thank you so much.